Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. And the text begins this way. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I love that word compassion. In Greek, it's splagnizomai, which is Greek for, well, it means the inward parts, means to be moved, to feel compassion. It's literally gut-wrenching compassion. Splagnizomai is my favorite Greek word. Now, we've been spending the year mostly in the Gospel of Mark, and Mark is, as we've seen, a book of action, recording the many miracles that Jesus did, talking about how things happened immediately. Mark doesn't take much time to speak about feelings and or motivations. So when he does, it is good to pay attention. Mark wants us to know what Jesus is feeling inside, and what he's feeling inside when he sees the crowd is splagnizomai, gut-wrenching compassion. You see, this is important for us to understand. Splagnizomai is Jesus' primary motivation, the main reason he does everything. The feeding of the 5,000 describes the compassion that Jesus has for people. So what does compassion really mean? Well, I think here in the feeding of the 5,000, we can see that compassion means two things. Number one, it means recognizing the needs of people. And secondly, it means meeting the needs of people. So let's start with the first one. Compassion means recognizing the needs of people, starting with their physical needs. That's what Jesus and the disciples do. So when the disciples saw that Jesus had been teaching for a very long time, they recognized that it's getting late and the people are hungry. Mark 6:35 and 36 says, "The hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." I think it's to the disciples' credit that they notice this. They also notice something else. They are in the wilderness. There's no Happy Joe's pizza. There is no Pizza Hut. There's not even a McDonald's anywhere to be seen. So they say, hey, send the people away. I think Jesus is pleased by the fact that they recognize this need that people had. His disciples are thinking about the needs of other people, just like you and I should be thinking about the needs of other people as well. We need to quit looking at people as competition and start seeing them with compassion, as people with needs, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. In this particular case, they are hungry. It's a physical need. Now, Jesus is fully divine, the Son of God in the flesh, but he is also 100% human, and he knows what it means to be hungry. Remember, he spent 40 days in the wilderness without eating, tempted by the devil. He knows what real hunger feels like. He knows we have physical bodies. He knows we need food, and he knows that physical needs are important. That's why he encourages us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." That is what Jesus wants us to do, to bring our physical needs to him. He is our good shepherd. He is the one who leads us to green pastures and still waters. He is the good shepherd who provides for our physical needs and also for our spiritual needs. And that's what we see next. It says in Mark 6:34, Jesus began to teach them many things. Now, why did he do that? Well, because, as Jesus himself said, Matthew 4:4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus begins to teach them many things, sharing them with and satisfying their spiritual hunger. What does Jesus teach about? Well, he teaches about himself, because he is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. As great as our hunger for physical food might be, we need the spiritual food that Jesus Christ offers even more. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, a righteousness that is, well, impossible to achieve on our own, a righteousness that is ours only through faith, only given to us through the bread of life, Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can satisfy our spiritual hunger. So Jesus takes time that day to teach the crowds. But he also wants to teach another group, his disciples. The disciples notice that the crowd is getting hungry. Their solution, of course, was send them away. Send them to nearby towns and villages. Let them buy something for themselves. But Jesus doesn't go with that plan. Instead, Jesus challenges them. He replies with a shocking statement, "You give them something to eat." What is Jesus saying? I mean, what is he talking about? The disciples quickly reply, "Hey, listen, 200 denarii, 8 months' wages, could not feed all these people. What in the world can we do?" Remember, Jesus is the world's greatest teacher. He is not going to let this opportunity go to waste. This is what we call a teachable moment. And he's going to teach the disciple about meeting the needs of others. When the disciples say they don't have enough money, Jesus asks them, "So what do we have? What have you got?" Well, they manage to find a boy who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they do the right thing. They bring that to Jesus. And Jesus says, "That'll do." See, Jesus is going to meet the needs of people. You know, recognizing the needs of people is important. That's an important part of compassion. But along with that, we're also called to meet the needs of people. And that's what Jesus does for us. He meets our physical needs and he meets our spiritual needs as well. So, first of all, Jesus has the crowd sit down on the grass. Remember what Psalm 23 says. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. The good shepherd takes a sheep and has them lie down," or I should say, sit down on the grass. He then has people sit down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. Why does he do that? Well, as 1 Corinthians 14 says, God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Everything's going to be done in an orderly way. And then Jesus does the miracle. He multiplies the bread and the fish. Not a dozen times over, not hundreds of times over, but thousands of times over. You see, Jesus is the Lord of creation. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And just as God provided manna in the desert, he now meets the physical needs of those who are hearing his word, the 5,000 men plus women and children who are hungry. Jesus provides. He provides generously, abundantly, super abundantly, mega abundantly. He holds nothing back. And the Bible puts it so simply and yet so perfectly. They all ate and were satisfied. Not only that, there is food left over. 12 baskets full of food. That number is not an accident. It's one basket for each of the disciples. Jesus does not overlook any detail. He provides for all of his people. You see, Jesus meets our physical needs. So we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," because we ask Jesus to meet those needs for us. But what do we mean by daily bread? What's included? Martin Luther explained what was included in the fourth petition. What is meant by daily bread? Martin Luther writes, "Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. You notice it's a long list. And Luther was just getting started. He wanted us to be aware that when it comes to the idea of God meeting our needs, he doesn't meet just a few of our needs. He meets all of our needs. Jesus, our good shepherd, generously provides for the needs of our body. That's what Psalm 23 says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Jesus generously provides for all the needs of our body and life. But more importantly, Jesus provides for the needs of our soul. Jesus meets our spiritual needs even more abundantly than he provides for our physical needs. He meets our spiritual need through word and sacrament. You see, our greatest need is the need for forgiveness of sins. There isn't one of us who can live up to God's standards. We all sin and fall short of God's holiness. We all are in desperate need of God's forgiveness. We all desperately need the grace that God offers. And so God instituted the means of grace so that he may abundantly provide his forgiveness. His means of grace are the Bible, holy baptism, and holy communion. And through these means, God generously pours out on us his grace and his forgiveness. We see that every time we gather together here on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We start with the invocation. That's a reminder of our baptism, right? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the name in which we were baptized. We are remembering we are children of God, and we remember the blessings of baptism, which includes forgiveness of sins. As Acts 22, verse 16 says, rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. The next thing we do after we remember our baptism is we confess our sins and receive God's forgiveness, confession and absolution. And of course, that reminds us of Psalm 32, verse 5, which says, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You see, we've just gotten started, and God reminds us twice of the fact that we are forgiven. Fully and completely forgiven for the sake of Christ Jesus. We then have Bible readings, which includes the good news of the gospel that God sent his Son into this world to save us from sin. As 1 John 4:10 puts it so beautifully, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And after the Bible readings are done, we listen to a sermon by the pastor who once again shares the good news of the forgiveness of sins. And then, of course, after the prayers, we gather together around God's own table. We gather around the table of the Lord to receive his body and his blood, which is given for us for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26, verse 28 says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Or as Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. God is not cheap or stingy when it comes to grace. God says to us during this worship service, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. He says it over and over again because he never wants us to forget or take for granted the forgiveness which we have in Christ Jesus. You see, the Lord meets all of our needs. He meets our physical needs. He gives us food to eat and all that we need for this body and life. But more importantly, he meets our spiritual needs, giving us forgiveness of all our sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. So, like the psalmist, because we have a good shepherd who meets all of our needs, we can say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.